Thanks, Pastor Darren. Thank you, everybody. It's always a privilege to be able to testify of the goodness of God. Amen. You know, it's His presence, it's His doing that we are here. It's not by our own doing, it's Him, the Lord. This is the Lord's house. Amen. Praise God. We're so blessed. I don't know about you, but I had a pretty challenging year. You know, we're almost at the end of the year. How about you folks? How was your year? You know, we all go through things, but I just thank God for what the praise team was speaking, Sister Lily in particular, about how, you know, no matter what, the Lord is with us, and He's always good. He's always good. The devil is bad. God is good. Amen. All the time, all the time. And as we mentioned earlier about prayer coming up, New Year's Eve service coming up this coming Wednesday. If you can make it, please come. Also, during the fasting and prayer, it's important. And I appreciate our worship team because they take their time to just worship the Lord and wait on God, to set our hearts in that place. You know, in the Bible, it talks about how Moses, when he was called up to the mountain of God, Mount Sinai, and God called him into the glory cloud while the people were on the bottom. You know, he had to wait 6 days on the mountain before he entered into the presence of God, into the glory of God. 6 days. And he wasn't by himself. He was with, Joshua was with him. And Joshua didn't get to go into the glory. I wonder what he was doing all that time. He didn't have, iPad or anything like that, right? What was he doing on the mountain? Playing video games? I don't think so. He was waiting. He was waiting on God. It's so important. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen? Isaiah 64 says, God acts on behalf of the one who waits for him. Waits for him. You know, that's an inner spiritual discipline. The discipline of the Spirit of God to learn to wait on God, to listen and to hear His voice. Because that's what it's about, right? To fellowship. God desires fellowship with us. Intimacy with us. So He can reveal things to us. And how He longs for that. That's why He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to restore us back into union with God, our Father. To bring us together. You know, I would probably never have met many of you here if it wasn't for the Lord, right? We all come from very many different backgrounds and, you know, status and our jobs and things like that. Our paths would never have crossed, but here we are together by the grace of God, by the love of God. That's the Lord's prayer that He said, Father, make them one even as we are one. Make them one. How does He do that? It's a spiritual thing by the Holy Spirit that when we receive and believe on Jesus Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit that we might be made one and empowered to live for Him. No longer living for ourselves, but for Him. You know, we're called to be a church of His presence. We went to a conference several months ago about in Seattle. It was the first time my wife and I got to go, but it was so powerful, and it was all about the presence of the Lord. You know, you can have a church where we could be so busy about many different things and miss the presence of God. Like the scriptures say that you could be doing all kinds of great things and everything, and I could go into that further, but I'm not going to do that yet. But the presence of the Lord is so vital and so important. I love His presence. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. In His presence, there is peace, comfort, strength. He gives strength to the weak. Amen? He's the one who gives us the power to live. You know, that word grace, it means power too. The power to fulfill the call of God on each one of our lives, to live for Him, no longer living for ourselves, but for Him. Okay, you guys ready for my message now? This is the word that the Lord has given. I believe God's going to speak to our hearts. You know, his word is alive. It's powerful. It's living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts to the dividing of soul and spirit, of bones and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. His word exposes stuff in us. Have you been praying for God to just expose, Lord, show me anything that's in my life, in my heart, that needs to be get rid of or taken care of to where I can draw closer to you, Lord? Because the word of God will do it. Because the word and the spirit are one. God works, Holy Spirit works through the word of God. The spoken word. This morning, if you have a Bible, I want to turn to Luke chapter 7, verse 36. I'll start there. But before we do that, let me pray. Can we just pray together for a moment? This is the word of God. This is the truth that sets us free. This is the word that feeds us, that gives us strength, that reveals God to us, Jesus Christ, the living word. Father, I pray today, Lord, as we gather in the name of your son, Jesus, that you would be glorified today, that you would speak to our hearts, that the word would penetrate deep into our whole being, Lord God, and reveal yourself to us, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for your great love and mercy upon us. Lord, that you forgave us of all our sins and that you came to give us life and life more abundantly. So we come this morning, we thank you for the anointing, the grace of God upon our lives that you would speak, O Word of God. Word of God, that you would speak to us. Open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears to hear what you would have to say. For you are in this place, Lord. You are the Lord of this house. And we want to honor you today and have an encounter with you that we will not leave this place the same, but that we will be changed, set free. Break every bondage, Lord God. Break everything off that's not of you, Lord. Any old grave clothes, anything that's, Lord, that's been holding us back from entering into the fullness that you have for us. Lord, we want more of you. We hunger for more of you, Lord God. We don't want just ankle deep river. We want to go deep into you, Lord, into the flowing stream of your living waters, Lord. God, that your spirit of life may just quicken us, give us life in our spirit, our soul, our bodies, that you make us alive once again as we turn to you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Praise be to your mighty name. Let your sweetness permeate us even more, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your presence even during this time, but we hunger and thirst for more of you, Lord, as we just want to give ourselves, as the song says, just making room for you, all of our heart for all of you, Lord, all of our life for all of you. We bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 7, verse 36, I believe it starts. And this is a great story. I love this story. It just blesses my heart. I relate to this. He says, then one of the Pharisees, one of the religious leaders, asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman is touching him. For she is a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii or $500, the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Which of them will love him more? They're both forgiven. And Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Think about this for a moment. This woman comes into a religious leader's house because Jesus was invited there. And she's broken, weeping, just intense, I would say. Not caring who's around. All she was focused on was Jesus. And Jesus, some say this woman was the one that was delivered from demons. And I can relate to that. I was delivered from demons. Okay, I'm not going to get into it, but the intensity and the desperation of this woman when she realized that the Lord forgave her, and the love that came out, the love that was expressed, the extravagance of her love, of her care for Jesus, her love for Jesus. And Jesus, this Pharisee, this religious leader, that's one thing about religion, you know, you can get so hard. You can look at others so like comparing with each other, saying, "Oh, I'm not like them. I never did that many bad things," but that's not the way the Lord looks at us. Amen. That's not the way God loves us. God loves us all the same. He said they were both forgiven for their debt. Jesus already paid the price. He already went to the cross for all of us, for the best or the worst in our own eyes. But to him, we've all sinned. We're all sinners. We're all lost, headed for a hell. You guys still believe there's a hell? You know, a lot of people are debating there's a hell. It's like, read God's word. As there is a heaven, there's a hell. And Jesus, why would he die on a cross if there was no hell and wrath of God to come against sin? God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, think about this woman. Because as we're getting ready for this coming week and the month ahead, January, this coming year, how have we been? How have we treated the Lord? You know, we come in, just think, if this picture was the Lord's house, the church, there might be some of us might be kind of religious in our thinking, maybe comparing ourselves with others in here. The Lord, you know, the Lord, he comes into our house. This is his house. And you know, all these things that Jesus pointed out to Simon that he didn't do, He entered his house but gave him no water. These are all customs of the day. Washing of the feet because the feet got dirty. They wore sandals. That was a custom of hospitality. You know, he said, you didn't give me greet me with a kiss. A kiss of love and respect. He said, you didn't anoint my head with oil. That was a customary thing also. So I'm saying this today because Lord's speaking to my heart. I've been praying, God, draw me. I want to come closer to you. I want to draw closer to you. I want more of you. I want to live for you. I want to get rid of every hindrance, everything, Lord, my self-pride, Lord, my self, inhibitions of, sometimes you get so locked. I remember when I first got saved, I couldn't raise my hands. Others were raising their hands. I couldn't raise my hands because I was concerned about what others seen looking at me. You know what I'm talking about? You ever had that kind of experience where, why should I raise my hands? Why should I shout? Why should I praise the Lord? Why should I lift up my voice in song and thanksgiving to God? Why? Well, if you don't know why, maybe you don't realize you've been forgiven by God's Son, that he paid it all. He did it all. All our sins were nailed on the cross. Oh, he took it all. All the law that was against us, all the sins that we committed were nailed to that cross. Amen. It's not something that he waited for us to clean up our act, but he did it already. It's already done. He said it's finished. And when we receive that love and forgiveness, there should be, if it's really in our hearts, we should have an attitude of love and gratefulness. Amen? There should be a change in our life. That's what I'm talking about today. Because there's so many, you can go into so many things in churches where we can get so caught up with so many distractions and things where God's calling us to himself. And he's saying, come to me. Come to me. Matthew 11, 28 talks about how Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. There's a place he wants us to come to him. To come to him. He says, take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble. And you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We're going to be coming into this new year. Can we spend like this first month offering ourselves to the Lord and come to him? Come to him. You know, many of us have different ministries. Could we just kind of lay it on the side a moment if it's, not so vital, that we can just focus on the Lord and come to him? I want to read something from Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. It's a call, an invitation to the abundant life of Christ. You want more? I want more. He says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money, without price. It's been paid for. He paid for it. And he says, why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Think about that for a moment. What have we been eating? What are we eating? You feeding on the Word of God? What do we feed on during our days? What have we been doing with our focus, our time? You know, the Bible says the mindset on the Spirit, on the things of God, is life and peace. The mindset on the flesh, which is just self-indulgence, whatever I crave for, whatever I want to do, it says is death. It's death. It leads to death and destruction. Jesus said there's two ways. There's the broad way that leads to destruction. There's a narrow way that leads to life. Right? We all know the scriptures, or should. But it says, without price, without money. Listen carefully to me, eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. There is an abundance in God that the Lord wants to give us. There's an abundance of the life, the abundant life that Jesus offered. He said, what did he say? The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. It's there for us, but we got to go after it. You know, God says faith is what pleases him. You know, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he who comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know what diligence is? It's the opposite of laziness. It's the opposite of slothful, just carelessness. Diligence means we go after it. He will reward you with what we do in these coming days and weeks. I'm telling you, there is a reward for each one of you personally. If you will make the time, if you can come, make the effort to come together. Because I'm telling you, we need to seek God at home, but we need to seek God as a church. If you feel you're a part of this church, this body of believers, you know the Bible says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the good of all. Every one of us in Christ, there's a gifting, there's a presence and a power that God wants you to share with each one of us to build us up, to build up the body of Christ in love. That's why we get together corporately. It's one thing to pray by yourself in secret, in the closet. We need to do that. But we also need to get together like the early church did. They prayed together in the book of Acts. You can read about it in Acts 4. When they prayed together, God heard their prayer and shook that house. He shook that building with his power. And he filled them with the Holy Spirit again. They were already filled with the Holy Spirit. But you know you can continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, don't get drunk in wine. Why spend your money on stuff that will not satisfy? It's only a temporary fix. The drugs, I was all in it. But when I heard the word of God, when Jesus got a hold of my life, he changed my heart. He gave me a new life. Oh, man, I can't tell you. I feel like, you know, this woman. Oh, man, sometimes it's hard to hold back. It's hard to hold back. I want to shout. I want to praise God. I don't care what anybody says. You know, I wouldn't be up here if it wasn't for him. I don't feel worthy in myself. He saved me. I sinned a lot in my life, man, in my early years. I was a terrible sinner. Oh, if I compare it with you guys are saints compared to what I was. I'm telling you, God knows. He knows us. He loved us even though we messed up so many times. He loves you with a love that's never ending. He has a place for us. He has a purpose for us. Each one of us are called by name. He knows you by name. You are special to him. You are his inheritance. You know, we are his inheritance. He's invested so much in us. Let's not squander it. Remember the story of Cain and Abel? Cain, he gave away his birthright for a pot of soup. That's how much he thought of it. Jacob and Esau. There we go. Thank you. I'm getting lost over here. Whoa, praise God. We need each other. Jacob and Esau. Oh, if you hear the story, right? Read these stories. He sold his birthright for a pot of soup because he was hungry. He thought he was going to die. But I want you to know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is start reading the word like never before. Dig in there. God will quicken that word to us. Put it in us. Start eating it. Eat it. And the Holy Spirit will come and quicken it. He'll make it alive to you. He'll highlight it to your life. He'll speak to you and give you the promises that we need to know him, his faithfulness. But it takes more than just, well, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. You can heal me. You can bless me. You can do whatever you want. And don't pursue him. You understand what I'm saying? You can just come to church, listen to a message, take it home, feel good, and come back and keep going through that same cycle. I don't know about you. I want the fullness of God's presence to fill our house and shake this place. And not only here, but that, like in the book of Acts in chapter 4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they went out speaking boldly, boldly in the name of the Lord. Boldly the word of God. Amen. I praise God for our brothers and sisters going out on the street in Waikiki preaching the gospel. Praise the Lord. That takes some courage. That takes some. God's got to do that in us, you know? Praise God. Not everybody's called to Waikiki, but I know every place, every one of us has a sphere of influence in our lives, someplace that we pray and ask God to touch them. Our loved ones, those around us at our workplace, there's so much, but we got to get together. We got to get to the place where we're praying fervently. There is a fervency. There is a diligence. There is a take hold, as Paul told Timothy, take hold of eternal life. Take hold of it. How do you do that? Taking hold of eternal life. You set your mind on God. You stay single focused. You don't turn to the left. You don't turn to the right. You set your heart and your mind on God and the things of God, and you do what you know you got to do. Have you ever been desperate to the point where you everything else is, it's out of there, man. You're desperate for it, and you got to go for it. You go for it. If you ever face death, everything else, man. Once you have this sense you're going to die, everything else, whoo, I realized I didn't want to die when I was faced with it. I didn't want to die. And I cried out to Jesus, and Jesus got a hold of my life, and he saved me from death. He saved me from the devil. He saved me from he broke the snares. He broke the traps of the enemy, and he took me under his wings, and he taught me how to walk, how to fight, instead of being a victim and an oppressed, just a slave to myself, to the devil. God saved me and turned it around. He said, you are my son. You have royal blood now. You have been called into royalty as sons and daughters of God. Amen? And the thing is, it took a long time for me. It took me many years. It's like, God, you know, my mind was gone. I couldn't even think. I couldn't even. And God had to heal my soul. He said he'll heal your soul. Let the word of God work in you, and he will heal. I don't care what the difficulty is, whatever it is. God will heal our hearts. God will heal our mind, and he restore us. And there's been times he's healed my body also, but when sickness attacks, I'm still pressing on for Jesus to obtain healing for my body. It's a war. It's a battle. He don't want us to give up. He wants us to take him at his word, at his promises, and have faith in him and diligently seek him. So whatever the need is, whatever the problem is in your life, we have an opportunity. Because when we get together, you ever heard of that word synergy? Synergy. There's an increase. There's a multiplication of the power of God, each one of us. I mean, God can work through one. God can work through many. But the victory belongs to God. But he's called us as a church. How many of you know one candle is good, but when you have 100 candles together, how much brighter is that? Amen? How much more stronger the light that penetrates the darkness around us? We need to be together. God's called us to be together. But it's with our hearts in this place. I love the song, I Will Make Room for You. This is where I lay it down. This is where I surrender it all to you, Lord. Remember, You know, I want one more scripture. I'm going to go to Revelations. Revelations chapter 2. And this is a word for the church, as a church, because we as the church are the body of Christ, members of one another, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, the Bible says. Whoever's joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Are we experienced? I ask you this question. Are you experiencing the power and life of Jesus Christ in yourself, in your soul, in your heart? That's something that you have to. He says, examine ourselves. Are you satisfied? Because the Lord is the only one that satisfies me. I'm not satisfied because that I know there's more. That's why I'm not satisfied. There's more that he's urging me. But I'm satisfied in him in the sense of my soul just delighting and loving his presence and his word. Amen. We gotta get to that place where our soul is no longer distracted. Our minds are no longer distracted by the world and all that stuff that's going on in the world. Amen. And this is the time, the beginning of a new year, to set everything else on the side. To set it on the side and get focused on him. Learn to wait upon him. Learn to hear his voice. Revelation chapter 2. This is a letter from Jesus to his church, written through John, the apostle. And he writes these words. He says, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. The Lord, all authority, all power, holding all things. He says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, he says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. I'll stop right there. You know, we can be so busy doing church things, doing things in church, so active, and I'm not saying it's bad, because I believe where there is life, there's activity. There's abundance. But also at the same time, if our focus is in the right place, we can lose the presence of God. We can get so focused on each other and the works that we lose the presence of the Lord. We either leave him behind or he's way in front of us and we're way back. He wants us to walk with him. He wants us to come back to that place of first love. He says, remember where you have fallen. Maybe it's not to everybody, but maybe you've been there. For one thing, remember that first time you encountered the Lord? Do you remember that first time? Or maybe there's other markers in your life where you remember the goodness of God. You remember how he saved you. You remember how he healed you. You remember how he provided for you. Remember those times? And where in your heart there was such a love and a desire for more of him. And there was such a devotion. You just wanted to serve him. Serving him out of a heart. You're doing it all for him. You're doing it all for him. You're not looking at somebody else and saying, Lord, how come they're not helping me? Or Lord, how come there's, you know, what does it matter? Who are we living for? Are you living for him? Are we living for him? That's who we are to live for. He called us out of ourselves to live for him. To live for him. And he's speaking this to church, to the church of Ephesus. And there's seven letters. And if you look at the last letter, there's a Laodicean church. And this is another example. They had all the latest technology, maybe. They had all the latest, the greatest singers. They had the greatest instrument players. They had the greatest worship team. They had it all, the greatest speakers. You know, they were excellent, but they didn't have Jesus. They were lacking Jesus. He wasn't there. He wanted to be there. He said in that word, he says in Revelation 3:20, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door and comes, I will come in and sup with him. I will dine with him. I will fellowship with him." The Lord's looking for that fellowship. He's looking for that closeness that we draw close. How many want to draw? You don't have to raise your hand, but how many want to draw closer to God? Amen. You feel like you made it already? Paul, even the Apostle Paul, with all the wisdom and all the experience he had, he said he kept on pressing on, forgetting what lies ahead, and kept on pressing on for what was ahead. He said he wanted to know him. He wanted to know him in his death, being conformed to his death, and in the fellowship of his sufferings, that he might attain to the resurrection of life. There's deeper stuff, man. There is a lot of deeper things for us. Amen. There's a growth that only God can bring us into. But he takes us from step to the next step. And we got to come to him and learn to walk with him. Be yoked to him. If you don't feel like you've been yoked to Jesus, now's the time. Now is the time to get yoked to Jesus. You know what a yoke is, right? That's how they train. They plowed the fields. And they had the strong, mature bull or whatever animal with a younger one to teach the younger one how to pull, how to plow. Jesus wants us to be yoked to him. He said, "Come to me." Isaiah 55 says, "Come to me and listen, listen, listen." You know, I'm speaking the word of God. He's speaking today. He said he speaks through his word. Whatever word I got from the scriptures, you can take that. Whatever I said on my own, well, you can examine and see if I'm telling you the truth. But the word of God is truth. Anything else, my feelings, they don't. What I feel is right, that God's word has to be supreme. Even the doctor's report. Praise God. They got the report. I thank God for doctors. They can give you the facts. But the final truth is, what does God say? Even Apostle Paul, when he was tormented by that messenger of Satan, he prayed 3 times for that thing to be removed. He prayed 3 times, not just once. But he prayed 3 times. You know why 3 times? Because that's when the Lord spoke to him. He stayed in there till he got the answer and understanding. And that's how we got to be with everything. We got to pray and press in and persevere. Because he rewards those who diligently seek him. Believe me, the devil's out there to kill, to destroy, to steal from us. Don't think it's always just God's will, this or that. Not necessarily. We need to pray and seek God. What does God's word say? Jesus, the living word today. I'll close with this. Our God, you know, through this letter, he's speaking to the church. We want to be a church of his presence. We don't want to be so busy that we forget about our fellowship with the Lord. He's called us into fellowship. We don't want to be so occupied with doing good. I mean, Jesus commended them for their good works. But he said this one thing you lack. This one thing. They left their first love. And he says, remember and repent. What is our first love? What are the first works that we do? Praise, worship, spend time with God. Be with the Lord. Be in the presence of the Lord. He's not talking about a 5-minute time at bedtime saying good, say our bedtime prayers. He's talking about spending time, hours, whatever it takes, having a lifestyle. On thee I wait all the day, says Psalms 25. Lord, teach me your way. Show me your paths. On you I wait. This attitude of just looking to the Lord in prayer. Even on the job, my heart is in tune with the Lord. That's where we want to be. Our ears are inclined to Him. No matter where we go, that we can have that space in us that is an altar to God, committed to God within us, because we are the house of God. Not just this gathering, but you are the house of God if you have Christ in you. We, our body is the temple of the living God. Amen? He said He will walk in us and talk in us, but there's a cost of pursuing Him, turning away from our sins, turning away from worldly pride, the mindset of the world, and turn to Jesus. Turn to Him and listen and learn from Him today. Can we do that this morning? Are you at a place now that you want to do that? I have a song that I like to play. Yes, Guy, could you play the song? Listen to the words of this, because it goes along with this story of the woman coming to Jesus. And let that be I pray that for all of us, that we'll have that kind of spirit and heart. A humble heart. You can turn it up. Can we just love the Lord? Can we turn back to Him, our first love?
First love. You are my first love. In your presence, I can't help but fall down at your feet. Savior, beautiful Savior. You became the sacrifice so I could be set free.
Come forward, you can. I'm just going to open it up once again, because every time we step forward, seeking to step closer to Him. here that needs prayer, that we'd like to pray for you. We'd like to pray with you. If you want to come up, we'll pray with you. We believe in power of agreement in the Lord, that we can pray together. Amen. For God to answer. Hallelujah. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. There's nothing too difficult. So can we just take a moment and pray? Brother Bobby. Thank you, Father. If there's others, just come up. We're going to pray for you. We have others, prayer warriors over here to pray with you. Father, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your grace right now. Thank you. God, I thank you, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus to break every bondage, to break him and set him free, Lord. We thank you for freedom right now in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you, Lord, for answering him. Lord God, for bringing light and truth as he's come forward, Father. We praise you and thank you for your mighty presence, your mighty anointing right here, right now. Glory to your mighty name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Can we just continue to pray for those who need to leave? I just want to release you right now in the name of Jesus. God bless you all. And we just continue to seek God. I hope to see you folks coming up this week and the next weeks ahead for the, and we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord for his goodness. We have those booklets for the 21-day fasting. If you want one, look, see Vic in the back. And Pastor Darren, do you have anything else you want to?
And don't forget, tonight, we have prayer here at 6 o'clock. So if you can make it tonight, come tonight at 6 o'clock. And also this coming Saturday after prayer, around 8 o'clock, we'll be taking down all the Christmas ornaments and decorations if you can help. But anyway, God bless you guys all.